It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard throughout the tri-state area. Listen on the radio at kntrtalk.com and the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, I mean, could you imagine a twin? Paul Lavoie.
All right, welcome to Speak Out. It's Tuesday, May 10th, 2022. And, oh, let's see if we can get some life in this show since Jess Knudsen's here.
Merry Tuesday. Thanks, Paul. How are you?
Merry New Year. Trading Places, right?
There you go.
That's right.
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy and Trading Places.
Love that.
Welcome to the show. We've got Finance Director Jill Olson in the house as well.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you. And I guess you were here last year. You always bring her in around budget time.
Sure, yeah.
She's like the budget czar.
Or the at the end of the budget time from a staff perspective. So Jill and the rest of her team and the rest of the organization pretty much works on budget about 10 months out of the year. So she's looking forward to maybe another 30, 40 days to take 2 months off from budget.
Yes.
Sort of, kind of? Yeah.
Is that about when you plan the vacation, too?
Yes.
Is right after or right before the start of the fiscal year or right after the start?
Usually after the start.
Oh, okay. Perfect. All right. Welcome to the show, everybody. You following the Suns at all?
I'm not. I guess a little bit. I haven't been following them too closely. So I'm in I'm doing a little personal news, but I'm doing like a house renovation, and I'm stuck in my garage right now. So,
there you go.
Yeah, I haven't been able to keep up with most things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, Suns and Mavericks. It's down to a best of three right now.
Okay.
Series tied 2-2.
2-2.
Yeah, game five, the always pivotal game five tonight, and Dallas just chopped the lights out in game four from the 3-point line.
That was like a 10-point game, right?
Yeah, and I think Chris Paul had maybe 5 points, and he fouled out. And a couple other things happened. So
where's game five at? Is that here or isn't
it? It is in Phoenix.
Okay, great.
Yes.
Yeah, perfect.
Yes. The Footprint Center, as they call it, sponsored by Footprint. And tonight's tip-off is at 7 p.m. The D-backs play tonight as well at 6:40, but, of course, preempted by the Suns because of the playoffs. And then the D-backs return to KNTR Sports tomorrow against the Miami Marlins, 12:40. I'm sporting the D-backs shirt.
Love it.
Because we're over 500. Every team in the National League West is over 500 right now.
Isn't that great? They're within distance of the Dodgers, which is great.
Yeah, that'll never happen. And that series starts on Monday.
Yeah, oh, is that Monday?
Oh, yeah.
Fine.
Not looking forward to that one at all. So, and then the Suns and Mavericks, they'll be at Dallas on Thursday and hopefully close it out in game six if they can get the win tonight. And that one's at 6:30. So all of that at 94.3, 100.5, and 980 AM, KNTR Sports. Welcome to the team. And then we have a life jacket exchange. Have you heard about this?
We do it. They do it every year, right? It's a fantastic little deal they do.
Yeah, this is the MCSO version here in Lake Havasu City. There's also a Bullhead City Fire Department version in Bullhead City. that day, that same day from 9 to 11. The one in Havasu is from 10 to noon at the London Bridge Beach Stage in Lake Havasu City, and it's with the Mojave County Sheriff's Office Division of Boating Safety in partnership with the Arizona Game and Fish Department. And that is for orange type 2 life jackets will not be accepted, so it's type 3 only. You can exchange your worn, torn, or otherwise unserviceable life jacket for a new vest style life jacket.
Love that.
No more of the, you remember the old clunky orange ones?
Right. I do try to strap in.
Stuck in the builds department? Yeah, exactly. So the life jackets, those life jackets are exchanged on a first come, first served basis. So be early again. That's Saturday, May 21st, a week from this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the London Bridge Beach Stage in Lake Havasu City. So there you have it.
Great deal.
Yeah, it is a great. Have you gotten a boat yet?
I don't have a boat.
Me either.
The only boat that I have is the my friends when they have a boat. So.
Which is really weird. Yeah. I don't know about you, but for me, growing up near Lake Mead, I drove a boat before I drove a car.
Okay.
So, yeah, I learned boating safety at a very early age.
Great.
You know, 12, 13, 14, I think I went through the class.
Okay.
Nevada Department of Wildlife and all that. So, yeah, if you don't know the rules of the water, you might want to invest in that as well, or invest in that for your kids.
Absolutely. And stay away from that propeller. I mean, every year we get incidents where there involves a propeller, and it's just like, people stay away, watch where you're backing up, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, so City Manager Jessica Knutson and Finance Director Jill Olson in the studio. You can participate as well, 928-854-5687. We do have a phone line open, and busy meeting tonight, I saw, where you have eight public hearings and then six items on the consent agenda?
Yeah, that is absolutely correct. So a few things happening in terms of the agenda on the consent portion of the agenda. It looks like we'll be approving the rewrite of the agreement with the with Mojave County for us to stay in their court over on College Street through the construction. So there's some changes that were made. We're coming back and going to finalize that deal.
Let's talk about that for a second.
Sure.
What's going on with that? What's the update on getting into the new building?
Well, we had some conversations as far as like the agreement itself or the project.
You have a project where they're moving from the College Street.
Yeah.
And into a building on the City Hall campus,
yeah.
Right?
And this agreement will allow us to stay in the existing courthouse until our new courthouse is completed. Making some great strides on that. Trying to battle a little bit with all this, the economy and the increased costs of all the different materials and equipment and AC and all the rest. But I think the team has put together a pretty good plan, working with our general contractor and the architect and our city engineers to put together a really nice plan that's going to present us with a nice courthouse and trying to maintain that budget as closely as possible. We should see an update maybe with council here probably in June or July. We'll take a kind of an update to them. Last time we presented materials at a council meeting, it was kind of like a bubble space plan where maybe a courtroom or kind of over here and a little bit over there. Now we pretty much got like about a 30% design. So, we got a schematic with actual footprint of where things look, and we've been able to address some concerns with the original layout in the last couple of weeks. So we'll be able to present that to the council and to the public here, like I said, probably June or July in terms of what that looks like, and then hoping to come to council with a contract for construction in August, September timeframe.
So not to detour too much, but what about the shared workspace over by Sanchez Hawkins off Main Street? You've got, looks like some beam work that's up right now.
Yeah, that's not the city. That's a partnership for economic development.
That's PED, but the city doesn't oversee any of that?
No.
Oh, okay.
The city contracts with the Partnership for Economic Development, and we pay them sum of money each year. To basically be the economic development arm of the city to attract and retain businesses and assist in those endeavors. When the ABC contest occurred a couple years back, I think there was $500,000 that was awarded. I'm not sure that the exact amount of money, but there was some contest dollars that were awarded. when Havasu was named took second place in that contest, and they're using those right. funds and some other funds that they've raised to build a kind of a shared space type of situation where if you have a small business or just need a desk or a space that you can rent a room or an office or a conference table or things like that over in that location. So I believe they're looking at trying to finish that project by the end of the calendar year.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So Jill, Jess was talking about the costs that are involved with the new courthouse facility, and that is that something that's very difficult to factor into the budget for this year, next year's budget, obviously. How much did costs, increased costs play a factor in the budget?
Well, the increased costs have played a factor in the budget. We're trying to look at not only the capital side as far as getting the building renovated and turned into a courthouse. We've been working on that for quite some time. We're trying to be reasonable with estimates just to make sure that we've captured enough that we can proceed with the project when bids are received. Mm-hmm. And then we're also looking at the operating side. So I wouldn't say it's been difficult, but it's been a lot of work, and staff has spent a lot of time capturing those numbers, whether it's on that capital side or that operating side.
What about the fact that there's increased sales tax revenue, record increases? Does that help?
Well, of course that helps. That helps with all of our general fund expenditures, public safety being the primary expenditure in the general fund. But yes, the increase in sales tax is a huge help. That's our main source of revenue in the general fund.
Jess, is there any way to project those types of increases? I know you probably map them out and go, okay, this looks good, it's rising, but when does it come down? I mean, is that really hard to project?
Well, that's Jill and her team that put together the projections.
Really?
And some of that is difficult because you can't project too high. You can't assume that it's going to continue on the pace it is. So a lot of the revenues that have been coming in have been over budget. That's because Jill's doing a wonderful job with those projections to ensure that there's no gaps. We can't be short when it comes to paying for our public safety and other city services that are out there. But maybe you want to talk about the process.
Yeah. Tell me how the sausage is made.
Yeah. The process is something that we go through, and we use 12 months out of the year. We look at it each month as we get revenue figures. When it's time to project the budget numbers, we take a look at historically what have we done in the recent years. We look at what the economy's doing. We listen to what the economists are saying as far as what's going to happen, with the economy. What's inflation going to look like? Is there going to be a housing bubble? Are prices going to come down? And we just take all of that information into consideration when we then project forward on the amount of sales tax revenue in particular that would be generated as a result of those predictions. We do try to remain on the very conservative side because, as Jess said, we don't want to over budget and cause ourselves a problem on the expenditure side.
Interesting. That's really interesting. It's almost like when Dave Ramsey talks about an emergency fund. Is that factored in as well, or is it just a gap between what you need and what you need immediately and what you may need? How does that work when it comes to like an emergency fund?
We have a small annual emergency fund, you might think of it as, in the general fund and the water and sewer funds, and I think in the street fund, HERF. We have what we call contingency. So for those right. things that we had no idea were coming, for which we have no budget, we have the contingency funds available. But we also have what we call a budget stabilization reserve, and that is a larger amount that we keep in those funds, each of those funds, for like downturns in the economy. We're trying to keep it at a level where we can react, because sometimes the revenue that we're receiving, there's a lag of some sort. Property tax has a longer lag. Sales tax has at least a 2-month lag, and so we need time to respond to those changes in the economy. So right now, the general fund, which is our primary fund for general services, has a reserve that's based upon 25% of the average 5-year worth of revenues in the general fund. But staff this year has included, we've brought that up to 50%, which gives us a 6-month reserve, which isn't really a long time, but it's better for us as far as being able to adapt should there be a change in the economy. So we've included that this year to bring forward. If council agrees with raising it to the 50% level, we think that's reasonable, especially in light of the fact that our main source of revenue in the general fund is also the most volatile revenue, and that is sales tax.
Is that something, Jess, you get pushback on from council members generally if there's an increased request like that?
No, but this is a very cautionary approach, and it's as needed. I'm hearing all positive from the council with regards to increasing our budget stabilization reserve from 3 months to 6 months. You know, as Jill indicated, she used the word volatile, and that's exactly what it is. And Lake Havasu City, we depend on the tourist economy for a large part. If something would happen with the economy from a national or a regional perspective, those sales tax dollars would dip and bed tax dollars would dip, we need to make sure that we have enough money to provide the core basic services to the community, whether that's, you know, police and fire and,
sure,
and parks and all the other great services that are provided. We need to put ourselves in a position that if something goes south, that we have time to react to that news. So we're reaping the rewards of increased tourism and increased, you know, local building and construction that's occurring in Lake Havasu, but we also need to be prepared for all scenarios, good and bad, and the BSR allows us to plan for that worst case scenario if something big would occur that would impact tourism at Havasu, which then would impact the city's ability to provide city services.
Right, right.
For those services.
And so far we're holding our breath when it comes to increased fuel prices, right?
Well, fuel prices
and tourism. Yeah.
And we're hearing the word recession out there for the first time in a long time. So.
Well, I remember in 08, and I know Joe probably does, when gas prices went over $4 per gallon, and the boating industry just, went flat.
Sure.
It was, but so far so good. Keep your fingers crossed and knock on wood,
right? Knock on wood, you bet.
All right. Yeah, we have a wooden table, so you don't have to knock on your head.
I got a wooden head, too.
All right. I pulled out some Johnny Cash for you.
Love it.
I got to find out what Jill likes as far as music goes. All right, back with more in a moment. Maybe it's Beastie Boys. Who knows? We'll be back on Speak Out with Jill Olson and Jess Knudsen from Lake Havasu City. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. Johnny Yuma was a rebel. He roamed through the west. Johnny Yuma, the rebel, he wandered alone.
That's your new nickname, Johnny Yuma.
Johnny Yuma. Huh? Yeah. I've heard that song before. At least it's been a long time. I like it.
What do you think, Jill?
I have never heard that song.
I don't think I have either. And I'm pretty sure my mother had every 8-track that Johnny Cash had to offer.
Yeah, right.
I'm just saying. Yeah. We're talking years ago, Jess.
Yeah.
When, you know, you're more in the cassette era, right?
Oh, I grew up with, my dad had the 8-track in the garage with, we'd play 8-track quite a lot.
Did he have a matchbook on top of it?
A matchbook?
Yeah. When they double track songs, you wedge a matchbook in.
Oh,
there
to get it to shove it?
Yeah.
Some of those cartridges would work and some wouldn't. Yeah.
Jill's like, oh yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage, also Patio Paradise, SamsGuns.com, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, and Springberg Wealth Management. And I have to put a shout out to Mojave Mortgage because I know you love Johnny Cash, but
yes,
so does Chad Hansen over at Mojave Mortgage.
Perfect.
So got to put that in there. We got a text question, a question via text. A text question? Does that make sense? For Jill. Off the air, and the caller or the person sending the text, the listener, wants to know how the city's funds are invested. Does that go to you or Jill or both?
Yeah, Jill's the expert.
All right.
We have a a variety of investments. We have what we call the state has a local government investment pool. So we can pool our money with those of other cities and counties in the state, so that we can get better returns, and the state turns around with limitations based in state law as to what they can then invest those funds in. So relatively safe. We have our own investment policy, which is, you know, first of all, you know, it's safety. Safety is primary goal. Safety, liquidity, and yield. So we also take a portion of our funds and we purchase government-backed securities, the Fannie Mae, the, you know, Freddie Mac's. So we have a lot of government-backed securities. We're limited on what we can invest our money in, so we're very careful, and it's in a conservative, in the conservative area, whether it's in LGIP or the investment tools that we use.
So in other words, it's not a high risk or a moderate. It's a low risk fund is what
most
you're talking
are
about.
Low risk
or
yes.
Low risk funds.
Very low risk.
Yes.
What does she mean, Jess, by we're limited by? Is this something that's written in city code?
It's written in our. There is, I think, city code addresses some of it, but we have an investment policy that's adopted by council that also references state law. So a lot of that comes from what's written in state law, and then us staying in compliance with what's written there. So that primarily is what drives it, and it's very on a very conservative level.
Okay.
Yeah, you won't find us investing money into the stock market or, you know, things like that are highly volatile. You know, in some years past, you know, a higher yield was something that was a little bit more that people individually were making money on, but that's not something that the city can do. I mean, our interest is probably what, about 2-3%. It's not a lot, but we need to put ourselves in a position where it's we're not losing those funds.
Yeah, it's pretty low, and we don't have commercial investments, you know, in corporations like private entities do.
So getting back to the agenda, I want to talk about looks like the third item on the public hearings for the building at 1975 Daytona Drive. That would be part of the Our Lady of the Lake Catholic Church. They're proposing the expansion of their elementary school. Mm-hmm. And I guess the new plan goes to a single story instead of a two story. Is that correct?
Yeah, it looks like that's what they're proposing. We'll hear some more of those details this evening. But they want to do some improvements on their property, and they got the room to do that. And I'm looking up some of the details in terms of specifics, but
while you're looking that up, was there resistance at the first hearing back in February?
No, there wasn't resistance, but you know, anytime that somebody goes through like a rezone, so whether it's in this instance, what the applicant that's here, or anybody else, is that there's a process that's in place, and one of the first steps that you take if you want to rezone a property is you notify your neighbors, and give the neighbors the opportunity to comment on that. Is it gonna, you know, is it gonna adversely impact the neighborhood? We need to know that as far as that application process. The applicant in the previous meeting had gone through the entire process, held those meetings, and then at the last minute the architect presented a brand new plan and they wanted the council to react to that. That plan hadn't been through the Planning and Zoning Commission, it hadn't been through the neighborhood meetings, and so we've asked the applicant we want you to do what's appropriate for your property, but we need that process to take place.
So yeah, that's the process right there. Mm-hmm. Change the plan in February, and then you can finally present it back to council in May.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're very. I mean, sometimes you know, people give us a hard time. We work at the speed of government, right? And but and some reasons that can be a real annoyance. You know, there's a lot of state statutes and a lot of process that we have to abide by that we wish we didn't. But in instances like this, it's important that if someone's going to rezone their property and change the use of their property, that the neighborhood has the ability to comment on that, and it goes through the P&Z, Planning and Zoning Commission as well, too. So,
you know, speaking of P&Z, I know in Bullhead City there's several seats available on their Planning and Zoning Commission, the BATS Commission. Do you have openings on your city boards and commissions as well?
We're going through that process right now. I think there's openings on the Planning and Zoning Commission and certainly as the alternates. We have a number of seats that are available on our Parks and Recreation Board as well, too. I think the airport board is filled, and then our board of adjustments. We're looking for applicants for that, and right now is the time to apply if you're interested. We get a lot of really quality applicants that come through, people that that are skilled, educated, passionate. They want to volunteer and do something good for the community and sit on one of these boards. And now's the time of the year to apply. So if you go to the website, you're going to see all that. And if you contact the city clerk's office at Lake Havasu City, she'll walk you through that process if need be.
Okay. Let's go ahead and take another break. And I need to discuss something with Jill off the air before I actually ask the question on the air.
And she wants Journey, Paul. So
oh, I'm she does?
Yeah. So, yeah.
Are you sure about that?
We all kind of looked at her sideways.
Are you sure about that, Chief Pete? All right, back with more in a moment. All joking aside, Lake Havasu City Manager Jess Knutson trying to be the funny guy in the room today, along with Finance Director Jill Olson. Stay with us on Speak Out. I'm Paul Lavoie.
My mama told me, son, always be a good boy. Don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry.
For me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, bright blessed days, dark sacred nights, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
You know what would be the toughest job in the world right there? Playing trumpet behind Louis Armstrong.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right? Think about that.
That voice is beautiful, isn't it?
I'm listening to the drums on it because they're playing with brushes.
Sure.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Speak Out brought to you in part by Horizon Community Bank, also Mojave Community College, GDK LLC, SunPower by Esme Electric, Herbs Herbs, and by the Lewis team, Remax by the Lake, with team leader Bobby Lewis and Julie Lewis. I should just pop this up and listen to Louis Armstrong. Great suggestion, Jill. I like it.
Glad
I like
to
it.
Contribute.
And we actually got her to turn her headset up.
Yeah. She cranked it for this one. Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, welcome back to the show, everybody. And we have a budget, you said, workshop coming up this week.
Yes, Thursday morning starting at 9 a.m. Council is holding a budget workshop. And so that is a great opportunity for anyone who's interested in the community to come and listen to the presentation, provide input and feedback to the council at that time. That's a lot of the purpose, is to kind of introduce what we're proposing to the council, but to always get that community feedback as well, mm-hmm. whenever possible.
All right, perfect. Let's go to the phone line. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
I just wanted to say, I thought that was a trombone playing along with Louis.
Oh, man.
It was.
He's pretty sharp.
Yeah.
Well, I still don't want to play any brass instrument behind Louis Armstrong. How's that?
Okay, great. Thank
Thanks, Kenny. Wow. I got called out.
You just got called out, yeah.
I did. But Kenny's, it's all good. Kenny's been a co-host before.
Fun.
So he's been in the studio a couple of times.
He's keeping us honest.
Right, exactly. So, The workshop, how much does that have to do? Is this the final tweak on the budget for this workshop, or we still have some things in progress?
For the most part, it's the final tweak on the budget. What we will do is we will present it to council, let them know what the assumptions are in that budget, and then get direction from them based upon all the input that they receive. And with that, we then bring back in June the tentative budget, and that usually the tentative budget is a reflection of what's presented at this workshop plus the CIP at the prior workshop, and then any changes council directs at at Thursday's meeting.
So there's no vote on Thursday, so it's a workshop, a work session,
sure,
that allows for some back and forth conversation and for everybody to learn and understand and come up with some fresh ideas. And then the first vote, as Jill indicated, would be that on the tentative budget in June.
Is this something open to the public?
Of course.
Absolutely.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
9 a.m. Council chambers?
9 a.m. Council chambers, you bet.
All right, on
yeah.
Thursday.
Yeah.
There you have it. Mm-hmm. So, okay, we talked a little bit before the show about the IDD, the
yeah.
Irrigated Drainage District.
Yeah.
Kind of explain what's going on with that. You said year five might not look so rosy.
Yeah, no, it's looking a little rough right now, but we'll put together a plan and we'll address it head on. A little historic perspective is that the Irrigation and Drainage District is something that's been in place since Robert McCulloch, our city's founder, put that in place years ago. He put together a sod farm on the island, and with state laws that at the time allowed him to basically collect a property tax from the residents here at Lake Havasu City. That has been removed from the state statutes several years ago, probably more than 10 plus years ago. And so that's not something that's no longer viable for a city to introduce. We retained it in Lake Havasu City since then, because there was still debt that was issued on that district. But the council made the decision about a year ago to dismantle the Irrigation and Drainage District, which is a reduction in property tax for our residents. There was about $5.7 million that was collected all in from our residents, and those funds were then used to fund a portion of our water system. And so the decision there is that let's dismantle the IDD, that goes away, and then concentrate on the user fees to pay for the operations of the system. Council then took a look at it last year for the looking at rate increases, and we had there was a 5-year plan that the council originally adopted that would we didn't want to do a stark jump. We didn't want to collect the $5.7 million all in 1 year. So the plan was to do like a 15% increase this year, which occurred for water, mm-hmm. and then next year another 15%, and then it'd be like 8, 7, 6, 6, in future years. So it wouldn't be a stark impact to the users and to our residents. And then council made the decision based on the increases on the wastewater side to forego the next 4 years of rate increases. So we did 1 year of increases in this year. And now we have to take a look at maybe in the fall or later on in this year to take a look at particularly on the water side. We need to make sure that we continue to invest in our water system. There is no conversation, no debate to be had on that one. We need to make sure that we're providing good quality, consistent water to our residents, to the businesses. We started about 4 years ago, shortly after I got here, and kind of learned about the setup in Havasu. We didn't have a backup water supply in Lake Havasu City. 80 to 90% of our water was coming from one well source, and that well source was about 20 years old. Mm-hmm. So we've invested a lot of money. The city's invested a lot of money into additional wells. And other infrastructure is needed to provide a backup water source for Lake Havasu. Then we can take the main well down. We can do the maintenance and extend the life of that. And then there'll be some savings tied to that, right? If you properly maintain the equipment that you have, it extends the life of it. And we didn't have the ability to do that. We're now on the very tail end, and we're right at the finish line of completing that project to have that backup water supply in Lake Havasu. So that's one example. We spend about $2 million every year on water main replacements. And then there's, different things that occur in terms of the maintenance of the system. One project that's going to come up is, I think in the newspaper, everybody called it a sinkhole. It wasn't a sinkhole, but over on Lake Havasu Avenue in Acoma, we had a water main burst.
I only report what they give me, by the way.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. But that vehicle that you saw that was in that situation where
yeah.
it was in the hole,
mm-hmm.
The water main had burst. The road was popped up. There's water rushing everywhere. There's asphalt pouring down the street, and we had a motorist that approached that intersection. Everyone's waving at that individual to stop, and they proceeded to drive right into the hole. So that and then somebody took the picture and called it a sinkhole. But That aside, we need to get ahead of these things. We're spending more money on repairs and causing more inconvenience to the businesses and residents on these repairs. We need to get ahead of these things, invest into our infrastructure, and make sure we're avoiding these situations. So from, I think it's Industrial to Palo Verde, we're going to replace that water main here in within the next 6 months. We'll start that project and get that underway. I think that's probably conservative. I'm hoping to do that much sooner than that, but bids are in, and we collected some, or the RFP is out, and we're waiting on the bids, and then we can execute a contract and get that get those repairs and that whole water main replaced. So
yeah.
That was programmed in the budget. We missed it by just a couple of months with this last one. Yeah.
I was going to say you had estimated the repairs at about $100,000. Is that close?
I said between like $50,000 and
$100,000.
Uh-huh. For the repairs. We need to start looking at overtime and what's needed right there. What you see out there right now is from the asphalt perspective, is called a cold mix. That is a very, very temporary situation. And if we can avoid the $10,000 expense with coming back with a hot mix and instead push forward the project itself to do it all once and do it the right way, then there'll be some, you know, savings about $10,000. So that's why we're pushing up that project. But yeah, when you talk about the equipment that's out there, the pipe that has to be replaced, the asphalt, all those things that occur, that was about between $50,000 to $100,000 in city expense just to make that one repair.
Is that contingency fund right there? Is that what we're talking about?
It would be eligible for contingency funds.
All right, perfect. Yeah. All right, so the Bureau of Reclamation came out with tier one water restrictions earlier this year or late last year.
Yeah.
Now they're talking, it looks like 1A, which would cut another 80,000 acre feet of water from Arizona users by August, possibly.
Yeah.
What does that do? It's already down 500,000 acre feet from the tier one. Now another 80,000 acre feet. What does that actually mean to Lake Havasu City, though, or to the level of Lake Havasu itself?
Well, first of all, the levels of Lake Havasu aren't going to change. The depth of that water has to remain to provide water to 25 million people in southern Arizona and Southern California.
Metropolitan Water District.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
The straws at the south end of the lake.
We see straws on the south end
right.
of the lake, but you also see it on the other side, on the CAP, Central Arizona Project side, where there's straws coming off the other side.
Everybody's got a straw in there, don't they?
Everyone's got a straw in there.
Yeah.
So the real nice thing about Lower Colorado River and the lake that we enjoy here in Havasu is that it's so dependent on drinking water for so many people that we're in a good spot when it comes to that. When it comes to the declaration of the droughts and what that looks like, and it looks like we're going to get another declaration. If we get another one next year, then these things get very, very serious over the course of time. And Havasu right now, it's not going to have an impact on us. The city has purchased, water rights, for several years, spent a lot of money purchasing water rights for several years. Our allocation, like Havasu City, is about 28,000 to 29,000 acre feet per year, and we're using about 13,000 or 14,000 acre feet per year. So that's half of our allocation. What happens when with the actual water itself that we don't use, that but we have water rights to? It goes down to Southern California and down to Arizona. So the water we don't use is being utilized by others. So those declarations this year and next year, if two more occur, it'll start having impact on the water rights that we do have. But we're in pretty good shape when it comes to the water that we have available. That being said, everybody needs to do their part, right, with water conservation and making the right decisions on in their personal lives and at their businesses to conserve water. It's cheaper, right, in terms of the rates that we pay, but it's also just the right thing to do. One interesting fact, Paul, as we start looking at some of the historic numbers for Havasu, we don't use any more water today, even with the increased growth and all the activity that's happening in Havasu today, than we did back in the mid-2000s.
That's very interesting.
Isn't that crazy?
Is that because of water-saving measures?
Water-saving measures that take place with our residents. We have all these technologies with low-flow toilets and showerheads and all those things that are introduced. And I think that We see a lot less grass and lawns and water-dependent landscaping, you know, happening in Havasu at that time compared to today. But we used about 13 to 14,000 acre feet of water back in the mid 2000s, same as we do today.
That's amazing.
Isn't it good? Yeah.
It is.
That's a true testament to our residents and our business owners on conserving water. We keep that up, we'll be in good shape.
So we've got about 4 minutes left. Anything left on the agenda tonight that you'd like to discuss?
You know, there's the business of just getting the operations of the city conducted. We need to buy parts and equipment and put our employees in a position to where they can continue to provide the services that we need to. They need the tools, right? There is a rezone for a request that's going to happen over by the mall.
Right.
So that's on there. I think there'll be some conversation based on that. That's item 8.4 on the agenda. That is on the back end of Home Depot on the back side. So it's not a frontage at the mall.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of that street. I know exactly where you're talking about.
Looks like it's on Retail Center Boulevard on the back end there too. So we have somebody that's doing a proposal to do some housing over in that area, where the product is unique, to Havasu. It's a basic an RV garage style with a, manufactured home adjacent to it. So I think the idea there is to build a product that can sustain the market and address some of the needs that are out there. But so that plan will be presented at council tonight, and council will be making a decision on that. We have our project for the purchase of some of the we need some equipment for that backup water supply I talked about earlier. We ordered a pump for our well 23 several months ago, and it's not expected to show up until October.
Issue.
We talk about supply chain issues,
really?
and the increase of cost.
Oh.
We talk about record setting, revenues for sales tax, all the rest too, and all the costs it takes to actually get the equipment that we normally would get. Including, I just learned yesterday that our chemicals for odor control at our wastewater treatment plant is going up 45% next year. I don't think Jill's heard that one yet, but that's
I guess she'll hear it on Thursday, huh?
that's a doozy. But those types of council will be authorizing staff to pursue a pump rental, just so we can get that pump up and operational when we need it. We simply can't wait till October.
So. Jill, some cities buy their fuel for fleet vehicles and that in bulk. Is our city in that situation, or do fluctuating fuel prices affect Lake Havasu City differently?
We have minimal bulk fuel. We have a fuel site at the police department, where the police vehicles can fill up. We're looking at that possibility, though, because we have definitely been negatively impacted by the increased fuel costs. That's definitely a cost of ours that we were not anticipating last year when we adopted the budget.
Is there a discount that the city gets for buying fuel in bulk like that?
There can be, and it varies depending upon who we're purchasing it from, because they don't, a lot of time, the fuel providers won't want to lock in a price for very long.
Okay.
There's going to be some fluctuations there. We can't usually get a long-term rate, but there's definitely a savings when we can have bulk.
That makes sense. And speaking of driving and fuel and that, we have the improvements to Highway 95 hopefully coming soon.
I think as far as ADOT is progressing on that plan, and but it's all on paper in terms of where they need to be on that one. As far as for our residents can expect something physically to happen on Highway 95, I would guess based on ADOT's pace right now that we're probably about 2 years out.
Okay. Pretty good show today. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
I'm going to play some Coltrane going out.
Is it a trombone or a trumpet?
I'm going to say saxophone.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Am I right?
It is a saxophone.
I think it's an alto sax, if I remember right.
You definitely.
All right. Back with more in a moment. I'll have a little community calendar for you. And thanks again to Lake Havasu City Manager Jess Knutson and Finance Director Jill Olson. And don't forget about that budget workshop on Thursday.
Thursday,
9 a.m. at the City Council Chambers. All right. I'll be back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
right, welcome back to Speak Out. I'm Paul Lavoie. Great show for a Tuesday. On tomorrow's show, we've got Nikki Nickel from the Havasu Chamber and some solar investment advice from Esme Electric and the advantages of going solar, of course. And the music, Kung Fu Fighting, for who else? Karate Man, Sean Hannity, coming up after news in a short break. And we'll have Mark Levin after Hannity. And, of course, Dana Lash and Dave Ramsey round out the lineup here on KNTR Talk. All right. Again, Hannity is next after news in a short break. We'll see you tomorrow on Speak Out. Have a great day.
This is KNTR Talk, KJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM and 106.3, the voice of the free.